and now at war. There are but two alternatives, total victory or total defeat. There can be no such thing as a military stalemate that would result in the survival of Hitlerism. That is the opinion of a man who knows. Douglas Miller, for 15 years commercial attaché to the American Embassy in Berlin, presenting a radio series adapted from Mr. Miller's book, You Can't Do Business with Hitler, Episode 3. No American Goods Wanted.
This is Douglas Miller speaking. December 9th, 1941 will go down in history as the date on which Adolf Hitler declared war on the United States. History, in one sense, will be wrong. Actually, Adolf Hitler launched an undeclared war against us as early as 1934. Yes, I said 1934, 7 years ago. This was not a shooting war, but the Nazis used every weapon at their command except shooting to destroy our government, divide our people, steal our military secrets, and cripple our standard of living. These weapons were sabotage, propaganda, the fifth column, espionage, and last, but not least, the weapon of international trade. Nazi officials in Berlin were busy scheming to destroy America's prosperity. Now let's get down to the cases. The case of James Dennison, typical of thousands of others. Dennison was an American businessman who in 1937 was trying to sell the products of American labor to Germany and the rest of the world. One day he came to see me at my office in Berlin.
Doug, I'm in a terrible jam and you have to help me.
Well, what's wrong?
Well, I've been shipping tallow from New York and selling it to the Germans. Now, I have a whole shipload of tallow at Hamburg and the German authorities won't permit me to unload it.
Why not, for heaven's sake?
Well, let me explain. You see, this is beef tallow. The Germans use beef tallow to make soap, but it could be used to make oleomargarine.
Oh, I see. You've run into the Nazi regulation that forbids Germans to eat food grown in America.
That's it. And even though my tallow is used for soap, the Nazis insist that since it's remotely possible that someone might use it to make oleomargarine, it must be called food. I tell you, Doug, this whole mess is driving me crazy.
Haven't you a contract with the Nazis?
Contract? You know what they think of a contract.
Yes, the proverbial scrap of paper. Well, all I can do, Jim, is to get in touch with the Nazi Party Big Bridge and try to talk them into giving you a break. In the meantime, you can just sit tight.
How do you do, Herr Luftbander?
Heil Hitler.
Won't you be sitting?
Nein, I prefer to stand.
Oh. Well, now, you're familiar with the case of Mr. Dennison, Herr Luftbander?
Quite familiar.
Good. Now, Mr. Dennison wishes to appeal a ruling that forbids him to unload his cargo.
Impossible. Herr Dennison's behavior has been Hitler's sort of criminal.
Oh, come now, Herr Luftbander. How is it you suddenly label criminal something you've approved of for some time? Furthermore, Dennison has a contract.
The contract violates national socialistic principles. And any such contract is invalid.
Oh, really? Well, why then did your Nazi officials in the Ministry of Economics sign it?
Because Herr Dennison deliberately deceived them.
Oh, now that's sheer nonsense. Will you please explain precisely what national socialistic principle Mr. Dennison has violated?
The eternally sacred principle that German blood be completely and forever linked with holy German soil.
Is there something unholy, then, about Dennison's beef tallow?
Yeah. It is edible. It comes from America. No true Aryan German can eat food grown anywhere but in Germany.
All right. I won't argue that point. But the tallow is to be made into soap. Defining it as food seems to me the thinnest kind of technicality and one with no other purpose than to evade your contract obligation.
That remark is insulting, Herr Miller.
But Mr. Dennison can't understand.
No one expects him to understand. He's mercenary and grasping and intent solely upon making money. How can he understand ideals or ethics or sacred principles or what is most holy to the German people? However, ignorance is immaterial. The tallow will not be permitted in Germany, and that is final. Heil Hitler.
Herr Luftbander, wait. Herr Luftbander.
Oh, the pompous young madman. He actually believes all that rot.
Of James Dennison is only one of hundreds of similar cases. Germany was out to dominate the trade markets of the world. All of its satellite neighbors, and her military victims were to cooperate with the Nazis in not only refusing American goods, but also in driving America out of the other trade markets of the world. The Nazis preferred to see Germans do without rather than purchase our manufactured goods. This harsh regulation was very hard on many Germans. I recall one very pathetic example. A German friend of mine, a kindly, gentle old doctor, who had bought an American-made automobile before Hitler came to power and consequently before the restrictions were enforced. I called on my friend one day and discovered him was in his car.
Oh, Fred Wheeler, I'm so glad you've come to see us. You're just the one to help us. Father, now you have nothing to worry about. Sir Miller's an American, and all Americans are experts with problems mechanical.
Well, you flatter me, Colin.
I think the trouble is in this thing here, Herr Miller.
Oh, the carburetor.
Yeah, the carburetor.
Hmm. Well, I'm afraid it's beyond repair, Doctor. You see this crack right across the face here?
Hmm. But there must be some way to fix it.
No, I'm sorry. The only thing you can do is to buy a new one.
Buy a new one? But that is impossible.
Oh, Father, does that mean we have
to... Your current automobile is useless to us now.
Doctor, you mean you must junk a $1,000 car for lack of a $10 part?
Yeah, American parts cannot be bought anywhere in Germany. The government forbids importing American parts. And nowhere else can I get the right kind of... what do you call it? The carburetor?
If you know how we save our money to buy an automobile, Herr Miller, so that the head doctor could be able to call an occupation.
And I've had it only a year.
Father, perhaps if you talk to the party leader?
I already know what he will say. That I am unpatriotic. Then because I can't use the automobile, he would take it from me for scrap, Herr Miller. Imagine.
Scrap?
Yeah, to make bombs and cannons.
But Father, how will you be able to call now on all the patients? You have some news.
But I don't know. Since Hitler, everything is in Gustav.
Now, Papa, be careful.
This automobile, Herr Miller, what a fine, useful thing it is you Americans have made. Useful to a doctor and useful to the patient who waits for the doctor when delay means suffering and haste means healing.
But talk. Scrap.
To make something like this now into things to kill me. I've lived too long, Herr Miller. Times like these are not for me.
Herr Miller, as the representative of the Ministry of Economics, I must tell you that you have been misinformed. Our regulations do not forbid Americans from selling automobile parts in Germany.
But none have been sold since Hitler came to power.
Yeah, that's true.
And Germans owning American-made cars now find it impossible to obtain parts.
Most regrettable.
Well, why then don't the American manufacturers take advantage of their opportunity to sell parts here?
Well, because they refuse to agree to the terms we offer. That's why, Herr Miller.
Oh, I see. Well, may I ask what the terms are?
Well, we can't offer cash, of course.
But I'm sure our manufacturers would accept a reasonable barter deal.
On the contrary, we offer them barter, they refuse. We will buy $100,000 worth of automobile parts for $100,000 worth of German goods.
Yes.
In addition, they will buy an extra $1 million worth of goods and pay for them in cash. Do you call that reasonable? Asking them to invest $1 million cash merely to sell $100,000 worth of goods?
Tell me that. We feel it is a privilege for foreigners to do business here, no matter what the terms.
But these terms are so preposterous, Herr Kuhdreiner. If I may say so, they seem to me as merely one way of saying that you won't take our manufactured goods under any circumstances.
You may interpret the terms any way you like, Herr Miller. But since you refuse our terms, I feel terribly sorry for the poor Germans who will now be unable to obtain parts for their American automobiles. Perhaps in the future, the fools will know enough to buy German products.
American businessmen learned that except for certain war materials, neither the Nazis nor the helpless victims of the new order would buy products made in the United States. Now, I've been trying to show to what length the Nazis carried their trade war against America,
to show they would never buy our surplus food nor our surplus manufactured goods. Nazi propagandists have proven this very same point, not by intent, but because of a blunder. On a certain day in March 1941, in the New York offices of the German-American Commerce Bulletin, located at number 10 East 40th Street, one of the editors was glancing over the most recently published copy of the magazine when...
God be him! Quick! Quick!
Come here at once!
Quick!
I'm coming. What is the matter?
Matt! Ah! Fine lunatic! I thought I voted to cut out that arctic known face. What?
Cut it out? Oh, nice. I did not understand.
You did not understand. Do not understand anything. We are ruined. Completely ruined.
But why? I have done nothing.
Nothing, he said. This fine political prediction in the magazine, and he says he has done nothing. Wait. Will you please turn the magazine to place, please?
I have to do something myself.
I know. I'm a fool. It is my own act to know place.
All right, I am finding it. Ah, here it is.
Good. Now, read what I have written.
Yes. Germany, with more than 100 million people, could easily buy from the United States each year 3 to 4 billion bales of cotton and a great variety of finished products.
Go on.
If reasonable and normal trade relations could once more be established between both countries.
Now, read your article on page 12.
Yeah, but it is not my article. It is Eric Neumann.
I know, but it is the one I told you not to print.
Yeah. Eric Neumann writes, all we Germans wish to do is to make ourselves independent of the outside world in the domains of foodstuffs and industrial materials. All other products...
Here! Now, do you see what you have done? On page 3, we tell the Americans Germany wants their cotton and wheat and lard and meat and oats and finished products. And on page 12, we tell them just the opposite. That we don't want their foodstuffs and manufactured food. Ah, you fool!
Oh, but that article is by Erich Neumann, Secretary of State in the German Ministry of Economics. It tells how he plans to take the American trade market away from them. It's true.
Why? We are not supposed to tell the truth.
But Erich Neumann is a high official.
But he wrote that article for Germans to read, not for Americans. I told you that officially.
But I thought...
You thought. There's something. We are not supposed to. We are only to obey.
You can't do business with Hitler. You have been listening to episode 3 in a radio series entitled You Can't Do Business with Hitler. This series is based upon the actual experiences of Douglas Miller, who was for 15 years commercial attaché to the American Embassy in Berlin. Listen to the next episode in this series, which is entitled Two for Me and One for You, and gives you the real inside story on a much-discussed subject, Nazi barter method. This program was prepared and directed by Frank Telford and brought to you by the Office for Emergency Management in Washington.